Richard Neal, Richie Neal, from Massachusetts 1st District, Democrat in office since 1989. Hey, Richie, when did they start to call you Richie instead of Richard?
Well, I think it started probably when I was in the mayor's office. The name has it could be used as Rick, Richie, and Richard. But by the time I was in the mayor's office, I think that became the easy moniker.
Well, when you say you were in the mayor's office, you weren't just in the office. You were the mayor.
Well, actually, I was a mayoral assistant back in 1973 for 5 years until I won the city council race in 1977.
Wow. Okay, so now let's talk about something that's important in our district, and that's the Farm Bill. It has major implications, including the feeding of our school children, right?
It does, and I think that once again in the House, the legislation that was put forward was punitive. And I think that the Senate bill is an improvement. And I think that there will be an opportunity now to reconcile the two differences that in the legislation that's been authored and passed. But I also think that, it's a great question, Alan, because one of the points that I frequently raise when we go out, when you talk about the modern dysfunction in Congress, one of the reasons that there's such modern dysfunction, I think, is that because both sides no longer talk to each other. You know, the great champion of the food initiatives in Congress was George McGovern. That's how he came to prominence in South Dakota. But his ally in those years was a fellow from Kansas named Bob Dole. And It was roundly supported by urban legislators because the food that was produced would go on the tables of children in urban areas that might not have the same opportunity for nutrition. And farmers would support it in the Midwest and across the country because it was a guaranteed path to revenue. So those sorts of initiatives on nutrition had broad-based bilateral support in both the House and the Senate, but also, I think, in a bipartisan sense, it came to the aid of both constituencies. So it's another example of, goodwill that has fallen by the wayside, but I hope that the Senate bill will be the one that we will act on in the near future because it's a far better bill than the House bill. And I think the entire Massachusetts delegation voted against the House bill twice.
Let's go across the waters, go to North Korea. The president had his conversation with Dictator Kim, came out and said, we'll have a denuclearized situation within a year. Now we're reading in the newspapers that perhaps Kim is not so fast, is reinvigorating his nuclear program.
Well, this is very consistent with what Kim has done during his time after he succeeded his father, in the sense that he always promises that he wants to expand the dialogue only simultaneously to continue to enrich uranium, as we've discovered right now. So I think that the administration prematurely proclaimed victory when there was plenty of forewarning that going into negotiations with the North Korean regime, where there are more than 100,000 people still in jail, where you have a dictator who routinely killed his own uncle and other relatives and has repeatedly violated the norms of nuclear proliferation, and to proclaim victory and that somehow he had been brought to heel based on one summit would be inconsistent with events going all the way back to the Reagan administration.
What would you do if you were the president right now? Well, you can't really because you're not him by any means. But what should he do?
Well, I think that the danger in modern public life is always to overpromise and underdeliver. So I think that in this case, there should have been a more judicious assessment of the motives of North Korea. Somehow, where you're going to have 60 years of animosity parked in the closet because of one summit meeting certainly doesn't square with the details of how negotiating takes place. And if you were to ask certainly Bill Clinton, or you were to ask President Bush Jr. or Barack Obama, they also had false starts in talking to the dictators. And if you remember, Madeleine Albright pointed out that she thought they were going to get a deal, and they negotiated in good faith only to discover that it was only an opportunity for Kim to purchase more time, again, for enrichment of uranium and nuclear proliferation.
Amazing. So he's sort of up the creek, right? Will anybody remember this?
Well, I don't know, only because I think that there was this promise that that the panacea had been reached, only to discover first from the Washington Post and then confirmed by the Wall Street Journal that, in fact, he has continued to enhance opportunities to enrich uranium.
Let's go from there to the Mueller investigation. I think a lot of us are ultimately concerned as to whether Mueller has anything, whether he's going to do anything with it, whether it's going to affect the way people think about Trump. What do you got?
The Iran investigation with President Reagan went on for years. The impeachment investigation with Bill Clinton went on for years. This idea that Congress should tell the prosecutor it's time to wrap it up might be good on a motion, but it's not going to be very effective in terms of justice.
But they don't care about justice, Richie. They care about, you know, as you say, going back to the base and trying to make the argument.
Well, this is where a free press has a very important role, and that is to remind people that Mueller is an individual who is above reproach, and that as you have a chance to go through some of the suggestions that have been made by Trump's advocates in the House as to how you curtail this investigation, that is not the position that they took as it related to the Clinton investigation.
All right.
And that went on forever, as you know, only to, in the end, come to the conclusion that there was a personal indiscretion, not any violation of his constitutional responsibilities. And I think, nonetheless, it went on forever and ever. In this case here, the suggestion is made that somehow, and by the way, coming from a couple of former prosecutors who are in the House, saying that all of a sudden you should wrap this up. Well, you're not going to wrap it up while you have President Trump's attorney Cohen hanging out there. You're not going to wrap it up until you have a chance to meet with other individuals now who apparently had some interference in Brexit as well as in the American presidential race. And there are too many pieces out there for us to examine. And I think thoughtfully that's what Mueller will do. The idea that Mueller, by the way, is a partisan is nonsense.
Well, it is, except that, you know, this is a president who loves to play with facts.
Well, the point is, and I say this wherever I go, I think that for me and the generation that I come from, facts count. And we were all encouraged, as I was coming along, to embrace facts and to be dismissive of spin and to constantly try to be the one in the room who brought perspective that was not only fresh but bearing some evidence.
Okay, I got 1 minute, and I want to ask you about the future of the Affordable Care Act. I know that's a hard thing to do in a minute, but is it dead?
No, it's not. In fact, most of it is functioning very well. Insurance markets are working the way they were intended to. And in addition to that, I had dinner the other night with Andy Slavitt, who was the person that ran CMS. He spoke to the Democrats on the Ways and Means Committee. I sponsored the get-together. And here's a very important statistic. 17 million more Americans have health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. And in Massachusetts, Alan, 100% of the children are now covered and 97% of the adults. There is much to the Affordable Care Act that has worked. We should be building upon it rather than this routine effort that's made on the other side now to try to condemn it.
My congressman is Richie Neal, Massachusetts 1st District. I'm proud of you, Richie. I know that I don't want you to take that the wrong way, but you've done a terrific job. In office since 1989, and if the House flips, he's going to be chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. Okay, so thank you, Richie, and we'll be back.
Thank you, Alan.
We'll be back the next time, and we'll talk about finding a DACA fix.